Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter.
Jeremiah the prophet told the truth, and the religious false prophets wanted him locked up, because he said Babylon is coming, and now we are under judgment because we've been disobedient. Listen to what the false prophets said. They spoke to the king and said, you're responsible to put in stocks and neck irons any crazy man who claims to be a prophet. He was talking about Jeremiah. Jesus, who was the truth, had his own family wanted to bring him into custody because they claimed he was insane. I don't know if you remember this, but in Mark 3:21, it says, when his family heard about this, his teaching, they went to take charge of him, for they, his family, said, he's out of his mind. This is Jesus. And then finally, the Apostle Paul preached the truth in front of government officials. And the government said it was insanity. Listen to it, Acts 26:24. And at this point, Festus, who is the governor, interrupted Paul's defense and said, Paul, you're out of your mind. He shouted, your great learning is driving you insane. And Paul said this in verse 25, I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is true and it's reasonable. Folks, do you see what just happened here? The governor says, what you preach is insane. The apostle Paul says, what I'm preaching is true and reasonable. The governor, the government, was calling truth insanity. That when someone stood up and preached what is reasonable, what is biblical, and what is true, now we have a society running towards a cliff, and anyone who says turn around is thought of to be insane, and even legislation brought against that person. Martin Luther, the one who led the Reformation of the church, said this about a preacher. Said a preacher must be both soldier and shepherd. He must nourish and defend, and to preach, he must have teeth in his mouth and be able to bite and to fight. I asked this question, I've asked it to people both in the church and outside the church, and that's this. What do you do when God's word contradicts your lifestyle? What do you do when what God says in the Bible is not consistent with how you've chosen to live? Here's my question. Who wins that fight? Who wins that contradiction? I love what Mark Twain, the great American author, said. He said, most people are bothered by those passages of scripture they do not understand. But the passages that bother me are the passages that I do understand. Those are the ones that I'm bothered by. Now, folks, listen. When you don't obey what God clearly says, then you are saying you know better than God. That's what you're declaring. When God's word lays out something, if you believe in God, believe in his word, and he lays out something in this Bible that contradicts, and you say, I'll live my way, you're saying you know better than God. You know better than him on finances and tithing. You know better than God on love and sex outside of marriage. You know better than God and what his opinion is on drinking and alcohol and even profanity. And you're saying, I know better than God on sexual identity. Now the elephant in the room is where tolerance and intolerance have been absolutely misunderstood. And liberal pulpits and churches affirm, but the pulpits that seemingly have a voice in evangelical churches around the country have lost their voice. That the liberal pulpits have risen up, and the pulpits that should be speaking are afraid so as to lose followers on their Instagram. But something happened. It seemed that during COVID, something crept into the American mindset and into the nations around the world. I want you just to pay close attention. Not only did anxiety and depression overwhelm the hearts and minds of people in seclusion and quarantine. But somehow, when America and the nations were left alone with their own thoughts and their own battles in their mind, with the churches closed to some degree, we ended up in a dangerous place as a nation. Listen, we wake up 18 months later, and we didn't just wake up with a vaccine. We wake up and now see biological men playing women college sports because someone said he's a woman. We've told our children that the decision of your gender is up to you now by just checking a box. And we've sat by idly as both our president and a parade declared, we're coming after your children and your children belong to us. I've got words for the parade and for the president. They don't belong to you. Those are God's children. Those are God's children. They belong to God. I am speaking today for your children and for your grandchildren. Do you understand? This isn't a sermon, it's a cry that we need from the church today. And I want to speak to the elephant in the room. Today I want to deal with gender identity issue and the LGBTQ community. I will be the crazy preacher that is running away from the cliff. I want to deal with the legislation that our courts have upheld. And even laws are being made on the West Coast right now as we speak that will criminalize what parents with biblical values will choose for their family. I want to deal with churches and pastors that have used their pulpits across this city here and around America to uphold fallacies and a sinful stand, and pastors that no longer will preach the Bible but pander to popular opinion and then chastise those who stand for the Word of God. You can only fight woke America with an awakened church. You can only fight this ideology of wokeism unless the church is awakened. Ephesians 5:13 says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The only way the church will be effective is if it's awake. And the only way it can be awake if it has a revival. And folks, I look at the problems and what we're facing today as a nation. I don't see it as a problem with government. I see it as a problem of the church that has lost its way, that fell asleep on its watch. We fell asleep. And while we're debating over inconsequential and inessential things, we're debating over certain political things and everything else, we lost the fight for morality. We lost the fight for truth because we're fighting over things that God goes, let that go. We've allowed others to tell us how to live and what to accept instead of going back to the source of life, which is God Himself. Ephesians 2:2 says it like this, you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. And I say this to judges and courts and legislation. God knows how life works. And when God defines something, we go with His definition. Truth does not come from politics, a court, or a majority vote. I'm going to say that again. Now, folks, I get it. I know what's going to happen after this message is over, and I don't care anymore. I really don't. I want you to understand. I knew. I said, God, I know what I'm faced with here, but something has to be said. Truth doesn't come from politics, a court, or a majority. It comes from God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Truth comes from Him. That's why I love what the theologian R.C. Sproul said. He said, when God says something, the argument is over. It's done. It's done at that point. I just got an email from a dear friend who's the president of an incredible Christian college that now they're on the firing line to accept this new AI and this new AI technology, but it for the religious world. And he's right now there is an AI Bible commentary that people feed the material into it with from society, and they're asking them to endorse it. And it's this commentary, they put in things that Jesus never said. In fact, let me read to you, when he was speaking to the woman at the well, it says that Jesus looked upon her with kindness and said, "My child, blessed are those who strive for unity within themselves, for they'll know the deepest truth of my Father's creation." Listen to this. "Be not afraid, for in the kingdom there is neither man nor woman." That's what it says. And they're asking now the church and the Bible to subscribe to this. This is what's happening. But you have to understand, you have to realize you can vote on policy, but you can't vote on truth. It was already established. That's why I say, get ready, body of Christ. Get ready, body of Christ around the world and here in New York City. Those that would preach the Bible, we need to get prepared for a time, because a persecution is going to come against the body of Christ and against the church that will stand for this. It is going to come, and it's not far away, that the church will be attacked viciously in the coming years. And that's why we encourage you to get into a connect group, because we don't know what's gonna come. Folks, and here's the good news. You can lock the doors of this church, but I'm telling you, you can't stop the church of Jesus Christ. The church will be stronger than it has ever been. It'll be more distinct as it ever has been. And it will be in the battle of its life, but it will see the power of God like it's never seen it before. Truth is called insanity. And I'm prepared to be told I've lost my mind, like Acts 26. When the government leader of that city called sober truth insane preaching. But today, in this biblical worldview, for your children and for your grandchildren, for what you're facing, and even next gen and young people today, I want you to listen to me. I want to talk to you about what I consider to be the X chromosome and other fallacies that try to dictate the future and eternity of people. The X chromosome and other fallacies that try to dictate future and eternity. What science is saying, and our government and our courts are affirming and upholding, is that the lifestyle of those sexual that choose a sexual preference comes because there is a X chromosome. They call it the XQ28 gnome, that they said that is in every person, that they can choose what their lifestyle is and their gender is, and it's inside of them. Now, folks, listen to me. If this is true and God exists, then God can't judge anybody for sin. He can't. He can't send anybody to hell. The Bible is not true, because God is making you responsible for something He commands you not to live by. So you can't, this can't work that way. So the elephant in the room is, you cannot believe in God and the honor of His word and believe that the sin is in our genes and therefore cannot be called sin. So what Festus calls crazy in Acts 26 and Paul calls sober truth, what's amazing is that governor has the power, here it comes, to legalize insanity and criminalize sober truth. So when the crowd runs to the precipice, it's those in authority that can criminalize sober truth and legalize insanity. Because when you redefine, you undermine all that God has established. Marriage and sexuality has been redefined in our society because God has been redefined by people around us. Courts have legalized and preachers have edited the Bible, and we are being told to be silent and to stand down. Those days are done here. Now listen, just because something is legalized doesn't mean it's approved by God. Just because someone votes and says, yes, you can, doesn't mean that God said those words. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9. He says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. Hallelujah. This is a big conjunction here. But you were washed. You were sanctified. And you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right after Paul says those words, listen to what he says next. Though all things are lawful, not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but I will not be mastered by anything. Paul goes, don't judge on what is called upon or said to be acceptable from a court. He says, we as believers live in a higher spot, in a higher plane. We have people that are now preachers that are editing, in the sense, the Bible. They're keeping out. There's some preachers that are saying, you only stay in the New Testament. Stay away from the Old Testament. And now they're cutting and choosing. Well, that's not what it meant. That was not written for us. That was not written for us either. And so they're cutting and choosing. Folks, Jeremiah 36 is not only scary, it's contemporary. King Jehoiakim exists today in the form of politics, courts, and public opinion. He was the king during the Babylonian takeover. And what did the king do when Jeremiah preached a message he did not like? Listen to this. He preached the message he didn't like, so he cut up the parts of the Bible that he didn't like. Listen to it. When Jehudi, that was one of the false prophets, had read 3 or 4 columns, the king cut it out with the scribe's knife, threw it into the fire that was in the brazier until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. Do you understand? He didn't like what was being said, so he cut it apart and threw it away. He figured, if I cut it out of the Bible, I'm not responsible for it. And didn't like the message of Jeremiah, who said, Babylon is coming, judgment is coming to Judah and to Israel. He didn't like it, so he said, I'll cut that out of the Bible, therefore we're not responsible. So what did God ask Jeremiah to do after they took the penknife and cut out these things? Here it is, verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll and the words with Baruch had written. And he says, take again another scroll and write down all the former words were on the first one that the king burned. He said, get them all back there. He's not going to get rid of it that quick. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Every preacher, every person, listen to me. If you're sitting here today or listening online, you can try to edit the Bible and cut out the passages, but one thing is true. Jesus said it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Psalms 119, verse 89, David says, your word, O Lord, will last forever. It's eternal in heaven. What's amazing is the end of Jeremiah's story. Babylon did come. And instead of saying, you're right, Jeremiah, we should have listened to you, they put him in jail. Then the officials were angry at Jeremiah and beat him. They put him in jail in the house of Jonathan and kept him there, made him into the prison. Now, folks, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to see where this battle is, because there's a bigger picture that's taking place. I'm not railing against one area. There's a bigger battle here that I'm fighting for, that I want to give you something to help you with. The battle today that we're talking about, that we have awakened to, that has awakened in our country and in your country around the world, the battle today didn't start in a courtroom or in a political office. It didn't start on a university campus, and it didn't start in a lab at the World Health Organization. The battle that we are facing today, here it comes, started in the minds of people. And then it went to a lifestyle and then a law. Listen to me. The lifestyle doesn't come from a chromosome. It comes from a battle of the mind that was lost. Here it is, folks. The mind is Satan's battleground, and satanic questions is the strategy to fight it. Let me say that again. I'm going to show it to you in the scriptures. The mind, it's the battle of the mind and the satanic questions that come. This is where it all begins. Do you understand that anytime the Bible shows that Satan himself, Lucifer himself, had a voice and spoke in the Bible? Do you understand when he talks, he ends his sentences with question marks? He doesn't declare, he just speaks with questions. Folks, it happens today to all of us. Has God forgotten you? Is there a God at all? Are you really a man? Are you really a woman? That's all the question. Listen to it. First time Lucifer speaks, Genesis 3:1, it was in the form of a serpent. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? He speaks to the first woman on the planet. Lucifer, Satan himself, speaks to God in Job 1:9 and says, does Job fear God for nothing? And finally, in the wilderness, he speaks to Jesus, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Challenging his identity, challenging people's motives, challenging the word of God. That's the way Satan goes. The battlefield is the mind. The strategy is questioning what God gives to us through his eternal word. We may lose people, we may lose finances, but I am not going to compromise what is supposed to be said as a church. I'm not going to compromise when those, it is what it is. But that battle is in all of us. That battle, we're all facing it. Folks, listen, people have mistaken the church to be some museum or hall of fame. The church is a hospital full of a lot of sick people getting better. And you're looking at one of them. I'm a sick person getting better because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. When you became a Christian, you were not just adopted, you enlisted at the same time. When you became born again, you also became a soldier. You weren't just a child of God, you're a soldier of the cross. And we've not done our job to prepare you. Listen, you were adopted into God's family, but enlisted into God's army at the same time. So we say to you, happy birthday. And we also say to you, get ready for the fights. How many know what I'm talking about today? And the church that is ignorant to this warfare and doesn't train its people with weapons is going to be a defeated church in these last days. And many have accepted that they are a Christian, but not have accepted that they are a soldier. And have missed that Satan's major strategy is to believe the lies that you are thinking. And so that's why the battle comes every day to our minds. Whether you're sitting at a desk, whether you're sitting alone in an apartment, whether you're watching from Finland or Norway, whether you're watching from Cuba or watching from Amsterdam, every day it begins to come. And so I want to take these last few minutes and teach us how to attack that meditation before it becomes a manifestation. David said this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We have forgotten that the battle of the mind, it can get twisted and the enemy can come in and thoughts, rogue thoughts, and thoughts outside of God's word can start to settle. When America was secluded, when Finland was secluded, when Hungary was secluded and brought into seclusion, the mind started to be attacked, not just with anxiety and depression, but it started to be attacked with rogue thoughts that didn't know what to do with them and just accepted it as true and just accepted it that it's supposed to be there. And that's exactly what happens when you look at Romans chapter 1. Notice the battleground, because you'll see the word think and knowledge of God that's here. As the Apostle Paul begins to speak to the confusion of even sexual identity that happens in Romans 1. But it starts with the battle of the mind. Listen for the first couple verses. It says this in verse 26. He says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their woman engaged in natural sexual relationships for unnatural ones. Verse 27. And in the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men. People want to, I'm telling you folks, preachers don't want to even speak on these passages and receive themselves a due penalty. Now here it comes, verse 28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile, this is important, to retain the knowledge of God, didn't think it was worthwhile. This is an important phrase, to retain the knowledge of God. All of a sudden, God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what they ought not to be done. Don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. It is in the mind that the new nature and the old nature are constantly at war. So how do I become transformed, Pastor Tim? You win with the renewal of the mind. Romans 12:2. The word renewal means a renovation has to take place. People who have ever renovated anything knows this to be true. Renovation costs so much and it takes longer than you expected. But here's the fight, and this is where we're gonna finish up today. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Here it comes. For the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so we can bring every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. The Apostle Paul describes the battle of the mind as pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments. Now, do you know what a stronghold is? Here's the simplest definition. It's a fortress. It's a word which means to keep things out. What is the fortress or stronghold trying to keep out? Here it comes. What is it trying to keep out? Here it is. God's truth. It's trying to stop God coming. It builds up this wall to stop God from coming in. The messages of our culture are trying to build fortresses of their worldview that stay up a long time and to keep out thoughts about God and to keep out thoughts about what God says about sexuality, what God says about marriage. When the thought is raised higher than the knowledge of God, every high thing that exalts or goes higher, strongholds are thoughts that are going higher than God's word, that are getting higher, that are getting more time, more thought than this. So we have to renew our mind with the knowledge of God to fight the strongholds. Now, folks, remember the Romans 1 passage. They wouldn't retain the knowledge of God. So the rogue thoughts got in to begin to bring the confusion of sexual relations. It's because they wouldn't retain the knowledge of God. So the stronghold exalted itself over the knowledge of God. We're still with me? Where do we get, here it comes, the knowledge of God? From the Word of God. So you get who God is from here, not AI, from here. The Word of God is the knowledge of God. And we have a responsibility, here it comes, to grow in the knowledge of God. Knowing God is my weapon. Knowing God is my weapon. The knowledge of God is in the Word of God. And my knowledge of God must grow because my battles are gonna get greater and greater. So how does this work when the mind, not just with all of us, how does this work when the enemy wants to come in and assault our mind. Remember, it's the battleground, and he uses satanic questions. Here's how it works. There's two instruments involved in the renewal and the protection of your mind. Here it is. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to convict me when a thought contradicts God's truth. Okay, let me say that again. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to convict me when a thought contradicts God's truth. How does this happen, Pastor Jim? Okay, have you ever gone through that TSA check lane at the airport, and there's a bottle of water, and then all of a sudden the alarm goes, you can't take that in there? That's over 3.5 ounces. Or you have your shampoo in there, or you have your perfume or your hair product, and it says, that can't pass you. The alarms go off, and you can't take it in. So it's exactly what it takes. Like a TSA checkpoint, it says all of a sudden a thought comes in and the Holy Spirit says, that can't go through. The journey that you're on, that thought is rogue, renegade, and trying to exalt itself higher than God's word. Alarm goes off. God goes, get back to this. Because if you take that thought on this journey called life, it's going to bring chaos to you right now. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, will bring conviction. See, here's what happens. You know what happens? I'm going to get in trouble. I don't care. Here's what happens. I'll start speaking like this, and there are people that are you're dying to get up and find a new church. Because what happens is, this is the part, that's not me. You're not angry with me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and going, wait, something is happening. Folks, listen to me. I'm telling you, when we don't attack those thoughts, when you fill your mind with God's words, then there's no room for Satan's lies that happens. Okay. Test case. This is coming from a soldier of truth, a shepherd for lost and hurting. Here it is. Here's a test case. So here the rogue thought comes in because you have a questionnaire in front of you. And it just simply says, it says this. Here it comes. It says, the question says about your birth. Are you male or female? Now, I've got these rogue thoughts. What do I do at this point? I've got to get the word, the knowledge of God, higher than that questionnaire that is telling me that I choose what my gender is. I know this. I know you're angry with me. That's okay. I know I'm on solid ground. So I'm not, you can shoot daggers at me. You can do whatever you want. I don't care right now. Okay, here it comes. So the word of God goes, what's the word of God? Here it comes. And he answered, this is Jesus. Have you not read that he created them from the beginning, male and female? So here's what Jesus was saying. Wait a second. I can't let that thought go up. I can't check a box for my gender. It's Jesus already checked the box at my birth. So when the thought comes, am I really a man? All of a sudden you go, no. Thought, I can't let that thought get in the way. I've got to let God's word go higher than that thought, or I'm going to find myself in this battle that's going on.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen.
Dear friends, the SDGs are often called our shared blueprint for humanity. Now is our moment for action. At next week's SDG summit, let us take an honest look at where we stand. Let us stop sugarcoating our successes and instead confront our setbacks with bold, ambitious commitments. The summit is our best opportunity to boost SDG implementation at all levels and spark accelerated action for peace. The wish of the Peace Bell founder was simple and clear. No more wars. Sadly, our generation has not met this aspiration. But it is not too late to start turning the tide. Let us use this International Day as our clarion call to action. And as we ring the bell today, let us heed the call of the founder. And as we ring the bell today, let us heed the call of the founder. Let us recommit to the SDGs, and let us recommit to a world where peace and security are reality for all.
Chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
Dear friends, the SDGs are often called our shared blueprint for humanity. Now is our moment for action. At next week's SDG summit, let us take an honest look at where we stand. Let us stop sugarcoating our successes and instead confront our setbacks with bold, ambitious commitments. The summit is our best opportunity to boost SDG implementation at all levels and spark accelerated action for peace. The wish of the Peace Bell founder was simple and clear. No more wars. Sadly, our generation has not met this aspiration. But it is not too late to start turning the tide. Let us use this International Day as our clarion call to action. And as we ring the bell today, let us heed the call of the founder. And as we ring the bell today, let us heed the call of the founder. Let us recommit to the SDGs, and let us recommit to a world where peace and security are reality for all.
Chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
A decline in the value of the dollar is necessary in order to compensate for the fact that the U.S. economy will remain rather weak, will be a drag on the global economy. China will emerge as the motor replacing the U.S. consumer. And, of course, it's a smaller motor because the Chinese economy is much smaller. So the world economy will have less of a motor. So it will move forward slower than it has in the last 25 years. But China will be the engine driving it forward, and the U.S. will be actually a drag that's being pulled along through a gradual decline in the value of the dollar. So there would be a slow decline in the value of the dollar, a managed decline. And that would be the adjustment that it needs to be accomplished.
Now the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have announced plans to develop a new currency.
I'm pleased to join you at the FedNow Early Adopter Workshop. Together, we'll be ready to launch the FedNow service between May and July of 2023.
A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
And one way to protect your money is by investing in precious metals. When you go to bh-pm.com, use promo code Trump. You'll save yourself a little bit of money.
Ladies and gentlemen, this just in. We'll keep this a little secret between you and me and them and everybody. Whoa. The people that are actually at the tip of the spear, working directly with President Trump on a day-to-day basis to save this nation, they're all joining us on the Reawaken America tour. We have President Donald J. Trump's chief of staff, Akash Patel. We've got Peter Navarro's joined us on the tour. We have General Michael Flynn. We have Eric Trump. People actually working at the tip of the spear with President Donald J. Trump to save America are joining us on the Reawaken America tour. Whoa. If word of this gets out, if the truth about election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, monetary fraud, and mainstream media gets out, it may just save the nation.
And now the Reawaken America tour is going back to Trump Doral, Miami, Florida on October 13th and 14th. And then we're taking the Reawaken America tour into California and into Tulare, California.
What?
Yes. Tulare, California is a real place. And we're going to be there on December 15th and 16th. Come and see Dr. Judy Mikovits, Julie Green, Amanda Grace, Dr. Simone Gold, the powerlifter and wife of Eric Trump, Laura Trump, Jean Ho, Roger Stone, the woman who woke up the world with the Plandemic series, Dr. Judy Mikovits, the hilarious Jim Brewer, Dr. Peter McCullough, Mike Won't Let America Go to Hell Lindell, Pastor Leon Benjamin, Pastor Mark Burns, Pastor Greg Locke, Pastor Dave Scarlett, Pastor Brian Gibson, Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller, Pastor Craig Hagin. Because although even America may be facing an imminent disaster, on the Reawaken America Tour, we travel with pastors. Did I mention on the Reawaken America Tour, we've had Liz Crokin, Jimmy Levy, we've had Mickey Willis, we've even had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. show up at the Reawaken America Tour. We've had Charlie Kirk, Roseanne, Donnie Clement Petruska, Mel Kay, Owen Troyer, Alex Jones, Mike Adams, Seth Holhouse, Donald J. Trump Jr. If you want to join the Reawaken America Tour in beautiful Miami, Florida at the Trump Doral Golf Course and Resort, get those tickets today at time2freeamerica.com. Or if you want to join us in beautiful Tulare, California, get those tickets today at time2freeamerica.com. We have scholarship pricing available to make this event affordable for everybody. What does that mean? That means you can name your price. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can name your price. We want every single American and married Americans going to be able to afford a ticket to the Reawaken America Tour. The Reawaken America Tour. Get those tickets today at time2freeamerica.com. Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari, Henry Kissinger, and the World Economic Forum, they have their get-togethers at Davos. But we have the Reawaken America Tour so you can learn the truth about election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, and to get back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, 70-plus speakers are featured during this two-day epic event. To make this event affordable for everybody, you can name your price.
So I'd like to name my price Skylar. Or Hamilton, or
this is probably Pitt. Not the right conference for you. Each and every Reawaken America Tour event has been 100% sold out, and these events will be sold out as well. Request those tickets today at time2freeamerica.com. Or for faster service, you can text them the number 918-851-0101. 02. Again, to be bilingually sensitive, you can text in the number 918-851-0102. That's 918-851-0102. So many people always ask, you know, what can I do to help fight back to save this nation? Jordan, you meet people at the Reawaken America Tour. Are people looking for ways to get involved?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And so one thing I would encourage everybody to do, if you're out there today and you're saying, I want to get involved. I want to support the Reawaken America Tour. What can I do? One thing you can do is if you will go to MyPillow.com and buy anything at all. I mean, you can buy whatever you want to buy. You don't have to buy my recommendations. And frankly, you know, I don't buy a lot of domestic products. I mean, my wife, you know, buys
sheets and towels and all these sorts of things. I don't do that. I think the last time I bought a towel was the last time I did a MyPillow commercial. But I would say, if you want to support the Reawaken American Dream, you just go up here to MyPillow.com and use promo code Clay. So that's promo code Clay, C-L-A-Y, and buy anything using promo code Clay. And that does two things. One, it supports Mike Lindell and the great work he's doing to expose election fraud. And two, it helps the Reawaken America tour. Because right now, if you go to timetofreeamerica.com, you can see I'm still involved in this ongoing litigation where the former head of security and strategy for Dominion, Eric Coomer, he actually is coming after me personally and the tour for defamation. The idea is that he believes that the Reawaken America tour has hurt his reputation. Now, this is the same Eric Coomer who ran a moving vehicle into a parked building during the middle of the day while intoxicated.
Wow.
One of the bed and breakfasts, Plum Street Inn or something like that, and took off on foot. I'm going to have 8 go over there and secure the vehicle.
Crap. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Are you Eric?
Yeah.
So, were you driving your truck?
No, I've been here putting the order away.
Okay. Who was driving your truck?
I don't know.
Okay, so where is your truck?
It's 2 blocks down on the right.
Okay, and you just parked it there?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you had anything to drink since you got here?
Yeah. Had a couple shots with the cook.
Okay. Do you mind if we step out back and talk for a
second?
Yeah. So, walk me through your route to get from where you parked there.
Came from my house, came down. I live up on the Mesa.
Okay.
So I came down side route, came down Sackett, parked over there.
Okay. So what happened in between there?
Okay. I'm going to come around to the front.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. So you didn't hit a building?
No.
Okay. Unfortunately, I have your truck with damage on it.
Okay.
Matching damage to a building down there.
Okay.
And witnesses saying a guy in blue plaid got out of a truck and came back here.
Okay.
So you're saying that wasn't you?
No.
Okay. You understand why that's hard to believe?
Understood.
But you were the only person driving your vehicle?
As far as I know.
Okay. And you parked it 2 blocks up on the street there? Okay.
So at this point,
4x4 pickup truck,
we're at Fork in the road. This officer can take you to jail.
Okay.
You're going to charge you with felony misinformation along with all the traffic stuff.
Okay.
Or you can cut the nonsense. He cuts your ticket for the crash. And we move on with life. It seems goofy to me to jam yourself up with more charges when you obviously responsible for this thing is property damage. But it doesn't make any sense to me.
Understood.
So.
Like you said, we're at a fork in the road. The choice is yours.
Okay. You can talk to my attorney.
Okay. Go ahead and turn around. Put your hands back for me.
Yep.
He was being filmed on body cam. And he lied to police about what happened. If you're saying, well, what can I do to support right now? One thing you could do, and I mean this, folks, if you can go to timetofreeamerica.com and you can click on the button here that says donate to support Clay Clark, Clay Clark's fight against Eric Coomer's lawsuit, that would be great because the legal fees, the ongoing legal fees for this lawsuit are almost $3,000 a day. So if you could donate anything, I mean, we just had somebody donate 11 hours ago, $20, someone donated $100, any amount at all would be absolutely helpful. All that money goes to just fight against that lawsuit with Eric Coomer, who's coming after myself, Lindell, Mike Lindell, and other patriots. And then the second thing you could do is if you go to mypillow.com and you want to buy anything at all, you know, Jordan, it's never too early to buy your Christmas presents, right?
No, it's never too early.
What's the earliest you bought your Christmas presents? Like, what's the earliest in advance that you purchased your Christmas presents?
January.
of the year. So January after December, mm-hmm. you bought almost a full year in advance.
Yep.
Yeah. So I encourage everybody, just go to mypillow.com, use promo code Clay and buy anything. And that is an absolutely great way to support the tour. I'm very appreciative for everybody who's showing up at the Reawaken America tour. But again, for anybody who says, Clay, how can I help the tour? How can I help you guys? Again, go to mypillow.com, use promo code Clay and buy anything at all. That helps support Mike Lindell and the tour. Also, if you could donate anything at all to support in our ongoing litigation versus Eric Coomer, the former head of security and strategy for Dominion, who believes that the Reawaken America tour is defaming him. Apparently, a lot of people don't want you to know about election fraud. Whoa, man.